Saturday, March the 7th. This morning at 11:30, I met with Liz, Dick McGuire, and Dick Nelson to talk about many invitations for me to make speeches. I'm sorry Ken O'Donnell or Bill Moyers couldn't be with us. I particularly wanted to rely on one or both of their judgments as well. The Cleveland, Ohio speech to the YWCA in April was agreed to. It's one of the 12 states that Dick McGuire said he hoped very much I'd go into. The Atlanta, Georgia one for the dedication or groundbreaking ceremony at the Public Health Services Communicable Disease Center close to Emory University was agreed to very enthusiastically by me because that's one of the 4 states I want to go into before the end of May. And we decided we would try to add something else in Georgia onto that, if not the future Homemaker State Convention, perhaps something else. I said a rather reluctant no to the Elmira, New York day. Sounds nostalgic, like a sort of a Saturday Evening Post front cover, but maybe something more useful could be figured out in New York. And also I said no to the New York World's Fair suggestions for First Ladies Day in the main exhibit. In general, I want to go to rural or small town areas. I do not want to go to big cities. I want to go to one or all of 4 southern states. I'm willing to go to those that the Democratic Committee wants me to, within the limits of strength and time. And most important of all, I don't want to begin general political activity until Lyndon does, and I want that to be as late in the year as feasible. The Detroit speech to the American Home Economics Association in June has already been accepted and with very much interest by me, and we will try to add something on to it somewhere else, perhaps in rural Michigan. We also took up a lot of things and got them out of the way, such as receiving the Outstanding Family of the Year from Alabama, okay with enthusiasm, receiving the UPI wife sometimes here in October, and if I can't be the hostess, I can certainly find a cabinet wife or a daughter. And yes, to some requests for interviews about one by American Heritage on Lyndon's grandfather that sounds very interesting, and another on his father. So a great deal of things were gotten off the desk, and that's always a relief. A talk with Senator Stennis finally put the axe to my plans to go into Mississippi, and so it looks like the space trip boils down to Alabama, Huntsville. I had lunch in my room and dictated letters to the museums that have been so kind about lending pictures, made arrangements for those that I'm not using to be returned, and then came the really high point of the day, which was Lyndon's press conference on TV. It took place in the East Room, the first time one was ever held there. I watched it from my room and wrote him a critique on it. In general, I graded B+. His statement was a little breathless. Actually, I think he ran from his office to the place, and he was looking down too much. It would be so good if he could use a teleprompter. He did look strong and firm and reliable and the sort of man you'd like to leave your destiny in the hands of. The close-ups were much better than the far-offs. It was too fast, and there was not enough change of pace during the time that he was making the statement. He just should have allotted more time for the statement and less for the questions, I believe. And then when the questions started, he was much more dramatic, much more interesting looking, and really a very creditable performance. Oh, how rough the questions were, and how sorry I felt for him. Vietnam, De Gaulle, Bobby Kennedy. Every now and then he gave a good, crisp answer, such as, "The answer is no to both your questions." The close-ups were excellent. I believe, though, the East Room leaves a lot to be desired in the voice, that is, of the questioners. I could always hear Lyndon very well, but not always the reporters who were asking him. I was reminded once more of a remark that Eisenhower was supposed to have said when he started in to make a press conference. "Now I mount the weekly cross." I guess the only way to know how the other fella feels is to be in his shoes for a while, and I never have been married to a press man. After it was over, I phoned Lyndon to tell him how good I thought he had done, and then I worked and worked and emerged from my room about 6:30 or 7 to find Mr. Kellum here. I hadn't known that he was going to be on his way to New York and was going to stop over and spend the weekend with us. So we had a pleasant family dinner with Lyndon and Jesse and Eloise and Homer. Jesse brought me 3 things from Louise. I find it's still a fresh wound, but I believe I wouldn't want my friends to forget me that soon. He brought me some beads I had seen her wear a great many times, and a tape measure with which she must have measured several miles of things for me in the course of our furnishing the places around the ranch, and a pretty little pocket mirror that I've seen her use a lot. Actually, I guess the biggest one thing of the day was the announcement in Lyndon's press conference that I'm going to be one of the delegates going to represent this country to Greece for the funeral of King Paul. President Truman will head it. He also announced the executive order creating the Committee for the Preservation of the White House and named the members. But it is just though as though we had labored mightily and brought forth a mouse because this announcement was lost in such a welter of news that I am sure it will create scarcely a ripple in tomorrow's papers.